everyone, and welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I got a very special guest, Nate from Geeks and Flicks, and also from the Action Movie Guys podcast, and we'll be discussing House of Frankenstein from 1944. So without further ado, let's introduce our guest. How's it going?
Hey, doing pretty well. Very excited. Very excited to be here. I love watching movies. I love these old, I love the movie you picked for me to watch. I'm a big fan of this whole section of movies, so I'm glad you asked me to be on, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Awesome. Yeah, and why don't you kind of introduce your channel a little bit for the audience who doesn't know?
Sure, yeah. So like Harrison said, you can find me on Geeks and Flicks. We go live every other Monday on YouTube, and also I do a lot of recorded videos. So I do top fives, like I'll pick a director, give my top five movies from that director. I also do every single week, I do out of the theater reviews for whatever is the biggest release of the week or what I think is the biggest release of the week. So every Friday, I have a new release theatrical review. And then Action Movie Guys, that is our podcast, me and Alex, and we only review action films. Now we do crossovers, so it could be sci-fi action, it could be we've done horror action, we've done all kinds of action categories. We do two per week, one based on a franchise, one based on a non-franchise. And so we just had Harrison on there. He was on a while ago, but we had him on there and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great time, and make sure to follow them. I got all the links in the description below. It's a great and fun podcast, and the live streams are always really fun, and the chat and whatnot. It's a great time, so definitely check them out. All right. Well, are you ready to discuss House of Frankenstein from 1944?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely, yes. I'm very interested to talk about this with you. Very interested.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I'll share some kind of behind-the-scenes details before we talk about our thoughts on it. So apparently, now this is according to IMDb. We know how refutable that source is, right?
True.
It says Bela Lugosi was slated for the role of Dracula for this film, but this film was dependent upon the presence of Boris Karloff being released from his stage tour of Arsenic and Old Lace, because he did the stage version of that. And so shooting was delayed. The scheduling didn't work out, so they had to get John Carradine instead. So that's why Bela Lugosi is not Dracula in this movie, which is pretty crazy.
Fortunate.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah. I just thought that was an interesting thing, you know, like, I'll get into it later in my review, but it's interesting to me that they didn't get Bela Lugosi. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what he was doing in 1944 or 3, whenever this would have been filmed. I can't imagine he was so, like, I'm sure they could have worked it out. They wanted to rush in and get this other guy. But yeah, it's too bad. Obviously,
yeah.
It's too bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into our thoughts then on the movie itself. And we'll start off with you. What are your thoughts on the plot?
Okay. So this is a really, I don't know if this is the right word for it. This is a really wacky movie, to be honest.
Yes.
you know, I am a big fan of the Universal, kind of the classic monster films. But to be honest, I mostly tend to just love the originals of the movies. So this, you know, diving into like sequels and things like that, apparently this is a sequel to a movie I've never seen, which is like Frankenstein meets the Wolfman or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is technically the second Wolfman movie, but it has it's confusing.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't know that, but that's okay. But there are things that happen that if you haven't seen that, you're just gonna be like, why is that there? And why is that there? So anyway, as far as the plot goes, yeah, it's really weird. It involves this doctor who's in jail, played by Boris Karloff, and he wants to continue the work of Dr. Frankenstein. However, he wants to do it to get revenge on the people who put him in jail, or the people responsible.
Uh-huh.
Plans to use the monsters from the monster universe or whatever. I had no such name back then. So Wolfman, Frankenstein, Dracula. Well, Dracula almost seems incidental, but Wolfman and Frankenstein. and That's like the basic plot of the film. There's obviously other stuff that happens, but that's kind of the general plot, right? I mean, would you, that's pretty much, I feel like that's a pretty good summary of what's going on.
Yeah, I would say so. And gosh, they call it House of Frankenstein. You look at the poster, it's got all these characters in it, but whose movie is it really? It's really the Mad Doctor's, mm-hmm. and I would even say the Hunchback's, because he Daniel. Has this love story. What's that?
His name is Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel the Hunchback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. What score would you give it?
No, it was bad. I gave it a one. I gave it a one. I'll tell you why. Well, I loved Daniel, actually. I felt so bad for him throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. So I think the one thing they did right, and where my 1 point goes, is to Daniel. Just because I felt so bad for him. This freaking gypsy girl just totally disses him for Lawrence Talbot, who is just like sad. And she's like, why won't you smile? And he just like, you don't understand. You don't understand. And it's like, Daniel liked you the whole time. She just likes everyone she meets. You know, she told him, mm-hmm. I like you. And then a day later, she's like, I like you to Lawrence Talbot. So I felt bad for him. Other than that, I just think there's too many characters that have no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really brought it down for me, where it's like, okay, stuff's happening and the doctor is trying to get his revenge, but it's still not 100% clear what his plan is.
He's right,
literally right. Like, I mean, you don't do spoilers, right? Or
we can do spoilers. That's
okay. Fine. So this is not a major spoiler, but his plan is to like put this guy's brain in this body and this brain in that body and this brain in that body. And he gets to the point where like, I don't even remember whose brain is going where and what's the idea. So I struggled to like stay engaged with that. And that's why it's such a low score. I think there was potential, but I think it was wasted.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally agree. I gave it a 2 out of 5. To me, there really isn't a single scene where all the characters that are on the poster are together. You know, like the comparison I make this to, this is like if the Avengers movie, you have, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, you have all of them, but Cap gets killed in 5 minutes. Robert Downey Jr. is not Iron Man. He's actually Loki. And the Hulk is strapped to a table for most of the movie. So
like, accurate. It's an accurate description. And you get to hang out with Thor a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what this movie was. Because it's like, how on earth do you have Boris Karloff in a movie and he's not the monster? How's he not Frankenstein's monster? Doesn't make any sense.
And you want to know what? I think he's a great actor. I didn't even hate him in the role, because I like his voice, even though he has like kind of a lisp. I think he's fantastic. The problem is, whoever that guy is that is playing Frankenstein's monster is horrible. Looks horrible. He does weird faces. He's like closing one eye and like moving his mouth in a weird way. I'm like, yeah. And then he's in it for 5 minutes, maybe. And he just walks into quicksand and then he's gone. So I'm like, yeah. I agree. It was a weird and bad choice.
Yeah. Oh, just absolutely awful, man. And I came to this movie expecting kind of a like an Avengers type movie where they're all coming together, maybe causing terror or whatever, right? No, instead we get a modern retelling of the Hunchback of Notre Dame story for the most part.
Yeah, sort of, with like side monsters.
Yeah, like a little side quest, a little, what would you call like secondary characters. It's like, the heck?
You know what's funny? It felt too at times, like this is called House of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Frankenstein's not in it because he's dead. So that's weird thing number one. And number two, if any of the monsters do have a plot, it's the Wolfman.
Yeah.
So this should have been called like House of the Wolfman instead. I think it would have been a better title, because at least he has a plot or a subplot. I don't like it that much, but it's there.
Right. No, it's just a continuation of the last film. Now, you haven't seen it, but basically this is just a continuation of that, where the monster and the Wolfman are kind of working together, kind of not. And he's trying to cure him and whatnot. This is basically just a continuation of that. It's like,
okay. And apparently he can't freeze to death. He could just freeze. and then be alive. So you've thought out. He's like, dang it, I want it to be frozen. Why did you wake me up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that doesn't make any sense at all. Do you care if I spoil the other one?
No,
please. Okay. Well, at the end of the last one, the castle, the House of Frankenstein, collapses, goes into a river, and it's taken away.
Okay. Well, apparently this river was an ice river. Or something.
How is it back?
Yeah. A little weird. A little weird.
Yeah. No, it's a terrible plot. Let's move on to the acting. I think we've done enough with the plot.
I think we've said all we need to say there.
Yeah. All right. So what are your thoughts on the acting?
Okay. I'm a little more generous here because I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was I think there's bad. Okay. Let's go good and bad. Let's start with the good. I love Boris Karloff. I really do. I like him in pretty much every movie I see him in. Obviously, he's iconic as Frankenstein's monster because of the look. It is like the one that people, I think, immediately think in their head when they think Frankenstein is Boris Karloff. However, he is a talented actor outside of that. And again, he has a great voice. He's very theatrical, you know. It's not surprising that you told me he was in some stage play production because it feels like he would be very good like in theater. So I do like him. I love Daniel. I love that guy who played him. I thought he was like very endearing and I was like, I felt bad for him. You know what I mean? And even though he was helping him do like bad stuff, he saw a girl, he fell in love with her. She totally disrespected him.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt for him. So I thought his performance, I believed that. I thought he was good. Other than that, I didn't like Frankenstein's monster in this. I thought it looked horrible. He doesn't say much, but his facial expressions, that's acting, and it was bad. Lon Chaney Jr. Now, I don't know your feelings on the Wolfman film, the original one, but I thought his performance in that was good, as far as when he's a human, you know. Well, he looks cool as the Wolfman, but when he's a human, at least he has some charm. Here he's just like, he seemed like he didn't even want to be in this movie. He's like, dang it, we're doing this again. Like, I got to play this guy again. He didn't have that sort of enthusiasm, so that was a bit of a bummer. And what was the name? Something Carradine, you said, that played Dracula.
His name...
I'm going to say John. Goodness. Was it John Carradine?
John Carradine. Yeah, he was in a lot of Westerns and B-movie actor.
He had a good face, but I didn't like his performance either as Dracula. He tried to do Bela Lugosi with the eyes. You know, he tried to like open his eyes, but it felt like a cheap imitation. So because I was kind of, I think there's good and bad, I fell at a 3 for the acting.
Nice. Now, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I also gave it a 3. So speaking of a wolf man, I'm not a huge fan of those movies at all. The first one was okay. And I don't know what it is. Like Lon Chaney Jr., his dad was Lon Chaney Sr. You know, he played the Hunchback in the 20s. Mm-hmm. He played Family Opera. To me, he was a much better actor than his son is. His son is definitely B-level actor, which is why these are B movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, I don't like his acting. And I've seen him in like 5 movies now because he shows up in every sequel to the Universal Monsters, whether he's the son of Dracula, whether he's the monster, Frankenstein's monster, whether he's the mummy. He's in all of them as a different character.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like him at all. And honestly, when you compare it to, you know, as terrible as the Frankenstein's monster is in this movie, his makeup is still pretty good. So when you compare that to the Wolfman's costume in this, it's like, ugh. I think it's a weaker costume, in my opinion, compared to the other ones. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, what else?
He looked like a dog.
He did. Yeah. Or even a, I don't know, like a squirrel or something. Like, he does not look like a wolf.
He looked a little weird. You're right. I mean, how do you not just do the same makeup again? Like, this wasn't that many. The Wolfman is in the 40s, the first one. So
it was like 3 years before this one.
Yeah, you got to have just do the same thing. Just make them look the same.
And maybe it was budgetary constraints. I mean, this is in the midst of World War II, so that would make sense, right? But
true.
I don't know. Okay. I like the visual look of John Carradine, but I agree. He's not a good actor in this, and he's totally wasted. Dracula's killed in like 5 minutes. It's like, why is he even in this movie?
He bites one guy, and then he dies.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Why is he even in this movie?
Yeah.
They could have cut him out.
You know what? Now that you say that, if you think about it, well, I already gave the plot a one, but I forgot. I hated that. There's a weird, the Dracula storyline, I don't need to cut you off or go backtrack, but it's so dumb that he, first of all, he takes out the stake and he just reanimates. He gets all his skin and flesh back.
Yeah.
So I guess he could only die by a stake if you leave the stake in the bones, even though there's no heart anymore. It's just, there's nothing there. So that's dumb. Then number two, he has this storyline where he is going to kill, he's killing someone. That was part of why the doctor's in jail. And then he's also going to like kidnap the daughter and he puts the ring on her and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Literally, he goes in the, he barely goes in the sunlight. He's like hiding, but he still dies. And then, and then the girl, the ring falls off and her guy are together again. And that's it. There's no more of them. They were not important. They didn't matter. They're irrelevant. And they just move on with the rest of the movie as if this Dracula section didn't happen. Like, why is it here? It's just here for them to put Dracula in it because it serves no purpose.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's a total waste of time.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Is there anything else I want to add? You know, I kind of agree. I like the Hunchback actor a little bit, but again, he gets way too much screen time. I wanted more of the other monsters. That's what I was here for. Not for the friggin' Hunchback.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's kind of my thoughts on the acting. Anything else you want to add to that before we move on?
No. I thought it was hit or miss. Hit or miss. Mm. But there was enough hits where I felt like it was good. It was fine.
Mm. All right. Let's move on to directing.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't think, I wouldn't say there's anything that was like incompetently done here as far as the directing is concerned. You know, this director did let that Frankenstein do what he did in this movie, which was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I do think it was fairly well done as far as directing is concerned. My problem and why I didn't give it a very high score, it's because I don't even know who directed this. Like, I didn't even, I purposely didn't want to like check because I wanted to see if they left any sort of stamp that is like, oh, okay, this was directed by this guy. Like, there's something in, and there's nothing. This could have been this could have been anyone from the 40s that was directing movies. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I gave it a two. I gave it a two because one, there's a couple things I would have done differently. And also because he just didn't leave an imprint. There's nothing on here that says, oh, this was this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I also gave it a two. There's no, like you said, there's no real director's mark, if you will, on it. It just feels like your average movie anyone could have done. So many of the choices that were chosen were just absolutely bonkers and terrible. you know, I do think this is more of a sequel to The Wolfman than it is to, or rather Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman than it is an ensemble movie. So I don't like that choice. And like you were saying, you know, some of these performances, you're like, man, these people were good in other movies. What's going on here? Like, it seemed like they didn't want to be there. They didn't care. So yeah, it was not good.
Agreed.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Well, you ready for cinematography and special effects?
Yes, I am. Okay, this is going to be my highest score, actually. Okay. I think they were good. I mean, we got to, you know, we're looking at a 1944 film. I'll start with the VFX. I thought the scene where Dracula turned into a bat and is done on the wall in the shadow, I thought it looked really good for the time, personally.
Yeah.
You know, it looked animated, but that's okay. Like, it was neat. He has the cape open, and you don't see any noticeable, like, cut where it switches to. It just sort of morphs into this little, like, cartoon bat, and then they show the kill in shadow form, which I thought was one of, I guess maybe that's why I gave the director a two, because that was a cool idea. Yeah, obviously, this is a different time. Yeah, we're not going to show blood and gore in 1944. So I thought that was a great way to show the bat coming in, lands on the neck, and you know what's happening from there. I thought that was good. I thought the reverse was also good, where the bat flies back out and then like turns back into Dracula. Mm-hmm. Another one. I actually watched it, rewound it, and watched it again. I was like, this looks, for the time, it looks very seamless, and I thought it was very well done. On top of that, you get some stunts. I always kind of lump that in with effects. Mm. My man Daniel gets thrown out of a window.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I mean, he really just got the shaft in this movie. I felt so bad for him. He gets thrown out of a window, and some guy goes, takes a tumble off a roof and falls in, you know, into the ground. That was great. Also, he falls in that hole at that one part where he's like standing on the, he's standing in the, like on the floor, and it like collapses into where the Wolfman, and that was like, again, I like stunts. I like what people do. It was probably very risky at the time.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I thought a lot of that was good. As far as cinematography, this looks like a universal horror movie from the 40s. And that's not necessarily a knock on it. They have a look. Obviously, some of the earlier, there's a few, Dracula and the original Frankenstein in particular, that have a lot of flair that this one doesn't have. Mm-hmm. You know, James Whale and
Todd Browning.
Yeah, they had a little bit more style. So this doesn't have that, but it does look the part. Like, it fits in with the look of those movies. And I thought some of the, I thought the sets were good. I thought they were, the way they shot them were good. So I gave it a 4. I actually think this was like one of the stronger elements.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to disagree with you too much there. On a side note, so I don't really watch modern horror movies per se, but would you say this is kind of on par with modern ones, where the first one's good and then further down the road it gets cheaper and crappier and that sort of thing?
For the most part, exactly. That's exactly what this feels like. It feels like a part 5 of something.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Okay, cool. I was wondering, because it seems like that would be the case, because you know, you watch like the Superman movies. Once you get to the fourth one, it's like, ugh. Right?
So, what is happening? The quality control just really takes a heavy dip.
Yeah. So anyway, so talking about my thoughts on it, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. So not too different from yours.
Yeah.
To me, in the 40s, a lot of these movies, because I'm sure because of World War II and budgetary restraints, they had to limit the sets and the different camera angles and whatnot. So that's why I gave it a 3.5. You can't really blame them. I mean, again, you know, they were restrained, but when you compare it to the first Frankenstein or the first Dracula, those movies have gravitas to them. The camera angles, the special effects and all of them are incredible. 90 plus years later, they still look incredible. These ones, to me, kind of feel like those TV movies from the 50s, you know, like a stage play, pretty much, that was adapted into a movie. I don't know. So it felt cheap when you compare it to those other ones. And I think the costumes were cool, but like I was mentioning earlier, I think the Wolfman's is pretty weak compared to the other ones.
Yeah.
And I did like that visual effect, though, of the bat transitioning and all that. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I think it was it Son of Dracula has a pretty similar effect that I thought was really cool.
Okay.
That one is Lon Chaney, and he has a mustache. It's Dracula.
No, yeah. I don't know if I want to see that. I don't know.
It's awesome because how terrible it is.
Okay, maybe I'll see it one day. Maybe I'll just do all of these one Halloween and one October.
I recommend it, but again, they get worse and worse as time goes on.
A question. This is a sidebar a little bit, but did you ever see, because it just reminded me when you said that about Dracula, did you ever watch the Spanish version of the original Dracula?
Yes. In fact, my brother and I are reviewing it for this.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
Right? Exactly. I love the Bela Lugosi one. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that they would just come in at night after the other crew was done and then just made a whole Spanish one with the same sets and everything.
Yeah.
But it feels like a different movie, but also the same movie. The fact that they could do that and turn out a better film than like these sequels where after the studio had made money on these movies, it's kind of weird. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Those multi-language movies are really interesting when you think about it. But
yeah,
yeah, no, How is that possible that 10 years earlier they're able to make better looking movies?
Right. Or the Invisible Man. I think the Invisible Man has some of the best effects to have the guy be invisible and not just like, you know, floating stuff around the room, but even when he's taking off the wrapping and you like you can't see him.
Yeah.
I'm like, this was the 30s and it looks amazing, even still.
Yeah. I haven't seen the sequels to those yet, so I'm wondering if we
I've heard they're good. Alex told me they're good. He said there's one of them that's really good. So I don't know.
Well, I'll see about that.
You get the judge of that.
But anyways, kind of back to this. Yeah, I just thought the Wolfman looked a little cartoony compared to everyone else.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. You ready to move on to music?
All right. Music. All right, so this one, I feel the same way about this as I do about the last category a little bit, in the sense that this sounds exactly like a Universal horror movie from the 40s, as far as the music. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the music is good. I do. I think the music in most of these movies is good. You know, Dracula doesn't even have music, really. It just has that beginning opening credits where they're playing the Swan Lake music. But other than that, there's good. It's classic. But like, it doesn't have like a score, really. Mm-hmm. But this does sound like the ones that do have scores, a lot of strings, a lot of like, you know, it just sounds like a Universal monster film. And I love that sound. That being said, it sounds exactly like all the other ones to me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing in this that stands out or that separates it from any of the rest of them. So while not bad, it's also not exceptional. It fits the film perfectly fine. But, you know, I like a little flair, you know, like, or something unique. Give me like a theme. And there was definitely great music already back in this time. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, I just feel like they could have done more. I did give it a 3 because I feel like it's appropriate for the film. It's not bad. I wasn't like, this score is horrible. But it's like, if you played this without the movie playing, all I would be able to tell you is that it's from a Universal monster film. And I wouldn't be able to tell you which one.
Yeah. No, I agree. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Same thing, you know. If you had this played next to the Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, I wouldn't be able to tell them apart score-wise.
Yeah.
But that might be a good thing because you kind of know, okay, yeah, this is their brand, if you will. You know, they use this type of music in all their movies.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When you compare it to Dracula, like you were mentioning, I love that score, that very first song so much, even if it's barely in the movie. To me, that really sets the stage of what the movie's going to be. It's Dracula. He's not just a straight up monster. He's also a sophisticated monster. So
yeah,
just that element just makes it really, really good for me. This just feels generic. It's like the modern day Marvel or DC movies, right? You have all these scores. Could you really tell them apart? I can't, you know?
Yeah,
sound the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's why the ones that are different are distinct. For example, this is Thor, the first Thor. Kenneth Branagh, of course, he works a lot with this guy, Patrick Doyle, as far as a composer. That score is really good. Like, if you listen to the Thor score, just the score, no movie, it is, to me, like, if you played it, I would know what movie it's from because it's a great score that happens to be in this just comic book movie. Outside of that one, there's a bunch that you could play and I wouldn't be able to tell you what it was from. But it just sounds like action movie. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I'm sure you too, with the action movie guys, could you really tell the scores apart in any of those
movies? something like Speed, maybe. Like, that one's very distinct to me. But I would say out of the 280 movies we've done, like, specifically the score, maybe 5 or 6 are like where we mention it. Where we're like, this, the music's really good. Yeah. We always call it out because it doesn't happen often.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I think that's the case here too.
Yes.
All right. So tallying that all up, what does that bring your score to?
Okay. So that brings my score to a 13. Total. So I know you were supposed to divide it or whatever. I had a 2.5 out of 5. It's a 2.6, but I'm rounding down. is a 2.5 out of 5 for me.
There you go. Well, I'm not too different. I got a 2.8 out of 5. Okay. So would you recommend this movie to the audience?
You know, that's a tough question, Harrison. I'll be honest. I would recommend this to a specific group. I would recommend this to anyone who is a fan of the Universal brand of monster movie, period. Even though I don't think this is a strong effort or like a very, very worthwhile movie, I do think you should watch it in that case. Would I recommend this to a general person or even someone who likes horror but doesn't really dabble in old horror? No. So I'm going to say overall, I would say no, because I think it's a very niche group that I would recommend it to.
Yeah. No arguments here. I don't think I would recommend it to, I guess, normies, if you will. You know, casual moviegoers. I think, like you said, specifically to Universal Monster fans, even horror fans, but you need to watch all the other ones first. Don't start with this one.
Right. Yes, exactly right. And maybe watch that Wolfman and Frankenstein one first so that you will know what is going on, because they're saying stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't remember that, but that's because I didn't see the movie before this.
Yep. And how many movies nowadays have that problem too? Like a lot of the Marvel movies is like, I didn't watch that one, so I don't know what's going on. So,
or I didn't see those 8 Disney Plus shows. I have no idea who this person is. Why are we clapping? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Exactly the same thing.
Yep. So Universal did it first, folks.
They're the original. The UCU.
Exactly. Universe. Exactly. Someday at some point, I'm currently writing an article about kind of comparing the two and showing how Universal did it first. Yeah. But yeah, this kind of proves my point that they did this first too.
But if you think about it, the way they did it, imagine if in the MCU, like one movie, Robert Downey Jr. was Iron Man, but in the next movie, he was Bruce Banner.
Yeah,
and exactly. Then in the next movie, he was like Captain America. Imagine that. Because that's what they did back then. Because Bela Lugosi, he was Dracula, but then in The Wolfman, he's that gypsy guy.
You know what I mean? Right, yeah.
And Boris Karloff is Imhotep and Frankenstein's monster. And this guy. So you just never know what you're going to get.
And then Lon Chaney Jr., he plays all of them in different iterations.
He's a mummy, he's Frankenstein, he's Dracula, and he's The Wolfman. So yeah. You just, it could anyone show up on set, and today you are this guy.
Yeah. I bet it was like that. It's like, okay, today you're Frankenstein.
All right, I know you got the script. This they probably shot these in like a month. This month you're playing Lawrence Talbot again. So this is a familiar role. But next month you will be playing Dracula.
Yeah,
here's another script.
Here's a mustache too.
And here's a mustache. That's great.
All right. Let's see, anything else? I'm just still baffled how on earth you could have Boris Karloff and not have him play the monster. Like, that is an unforgivable sin.
It's truly sad. It's truly sad. He absolutely nails that, the monster, the facial expressions, the mannerisms. I don't like, this might be a hot take, I don't know, but I do not like Bride of Frankenstein as a movie.
Oh, I don't either.
I'm not a fan of it. I know, I feel like it's popular because of the look of the bride, and I think a lot of people haven't seen it, but they think they like it. And then if they really watch it, and you're seeing like these little people in these jars and stuff, and you're like, what is going on? Like, this movie's weird as heck. You know, I don't love that movie, but he's great in that movie too. Like when he goes and meets the guy, the blind guy, and the whole Boris Karloff as the monster, amazing. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, he should have been the monster and had a bigger role than the 5 minutes of screen time. And then, I don't know, let someone else play the Dr. Neiman guy. Because even though Boris Karloff is good in the role, it's one of those roles, like, you're right, like, anyone could play it. Like, any decent... Call Claude Rains.
Claude Rains, yeah.
Yeah, let him play him, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. Or how about this? How about this idea?
Oh, okay.
There's a movie for each of these characters that have totally different actors. Why not just bring all of them back?
There you go. Exactly. Great point. Like this movie, okay, if you took the same exact movie, hear me out, take the same exact movie, and you make Bela Lugosi Dracula, okay? I guess we let Lon Chaney Jr. play Wolfman because he already did it in whatever. We have Frankenstein's Monsters played by Boris Karloff. Okay. Now, Claude Rains, I still like Claude Rains as the doctor, but he was also Lawrence Talbot's dad, and he was also the Invisible Man. So, but spoiler alert, the Invisible Man died at the end of that movie. So it doesn't matter. He's off the table. And, you know, he doesn't have to be Lawrence Talbot's dad anymore. So I still like him as the doctor. Like, get them all in there and then give them all a good... It would have been like the original Monster Squad. You ever seen Monster Squad from the 80s?
No, but I've seen clips from it. It looks really funny.
This would be the non-comedic version of Monster Squad. You'd have the iconic actors playing these iconic roles, and it would have been great. And then the Hunchback, Lee Daniel, just same guy. I like him. Same guy.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, any last thoughts you want to discuss about House of Frankenstein before we go?
I will say... thank you for picking me for this movie. I was glad to watch it. I didn't love it, but I can't say that I had I was like miserable when I was watching it. I think there's value there if you are a fan of these movies, the Universal Monster movies. It's definitely a B movie. It definitely has like really bad elements, a story in particular. But there's enough there that they did show the Hunchback too much. But at least I empathize with him, and I did feel bad for him. He falls in a hole. He gets thrown out of a window. The girl likes him and then doesn't like him 1 minute later. Like, I just felt bad for him. So, it's watchable, but bad. So, I'm glad you picked it, and because I had never seen it. So, I'd love a good first-time watch. I don't know if I would watch this again, but I don't regret my time. I don't regret my 71 minutes or whatever it was that it took to get through this.
Yeah, that's a good point too. It's very, very short.
Yes, and it feels short. Like, it moves quick. It's not, nothing drags. Like, there's always something going on, which is good. Like the Wolfman. The Wolfman's 68 minutes or something, and it feels twice as long because he's doing nothing, like walking around the town and stuff. I'm like, this is just boring.
Yeah. No, I.
Don't even remind me. I'm not a fan of the Wolfman either, to be honest with you. I'm also not a fan of the original Mummy. I love Karloff in it as Imhotep, but that movie's boring too. I really, the ones I love best are Dracula, original Frankenstein. I do love the Invisible Man. I think it's just as good as those two, to be honest with you. And then I like Creature from the Black Lagoon better than those other ones. And I enjoy Claude Rains' Phantom of the Opera. I do think that's a solid adaptation of it. So, but Bride, Wolfman, Mummy, I've seen them a couple times, but if I never saw them again, I'd be fine.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Hot take. Sorry. I know they're classic, but they're boring.
Well, I think, because I agree with a lot of that, actually. I think what happens is people only watch one, maybe two of them, and they're like, okay, I'm good with that. I don't need to watch anymore. It's like, no, if you really want to get into this character, you got to watch all 7 of their movies, you know?
True. That's true. And also, you know, again, I haven't seen them, but like my partner, Alex, he told me the Invisible Man sequels are quite good, considering, I guess he's comparing them to some of these other ones they said were not good. And so it's like, okay, but the original one's amazing. And while it may not be as good, at least they add something. But it's good to watch them. They're all short. They're not going to take you a lot of time. The Abbott and Costello ones are pretty funny. So, you know, that's always a good time. There's enough in there that it's worth your investment of your... You could probably get through all these in like 3 days, honestly. All 3 of them. You get through them in 3 days, no problem. Because if you give like 8... If you commit like 10 hours a day, you'll be done in 3 days, for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on, man. This was a blast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a blast. I had a great time. And I love old movies. I love old movies. I discovered them a little later in life. I love going back and always discovering some old movie that is very enjoyable. This wasn't one of them, but I love the experience. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, where can people find you and talk a little bit about your channel again?
Yes, of course. You could find me if you want to follow me. I'm on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. So you could follow me there. I only post movie content in my story. Sometimes I might post something about my personal life or food. So you could follow me there. And of course, if you want to see my content at all, Geeks and Flicks is the YouTube channel. Again, live shows every other Monday. We also do unboxing videos. My partner Alex does unboxing videos. I do reviews, movie reviews for new release films. And I'm the opposite of Harrison here. I do new release only reviews for my films. And then, of course, top five lists. So you can find me there in Action Movie Guys Podcast. That's the podcast. Half an hour usually each episode. We break down a movie in similar like Harrison here with got a couple categories, give them some scores. We make a lot of jokes and we have a good time.
Yeah. Awesome. And like I said, all those links will be in the description below. And yeah, make sure to give him a follow. He's got some great content, guys.
Appreciate that.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. And if you want to follow me, I'm also on Instagram at Really Old Movies. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Letterboxd, YouTube, Rumble, all those places at Really Old Movies. And new podcast episodes are released Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on each of those places, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and so forth. And then video versions of podcasts are released Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right. Well, thanks again, Nate. And thanks again for everyone for watching and listening. It's been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. Take care.